I was pretty excited when I got to see what this text was, because I think every pastor would be excited to preach on this text. It's just a wonderful, wonderful text. And so we're going to do like we always do. We're going to go through one verse at a time, except that I'm only going through the first five verses, because if it was 1 through 10, I didn't know. However, it kind of worked out nicely because the sermon actually fits with 6 through 10 also. So God is good. God is good all the time. There you go. The first verse was, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands." Well, that's the part I was excited about. Ready for a new body? I'll sign up. I'm ready. I'm ready for a new body. And this is one of the texts that proves out that we aren't just some, like the movies where somebody dies and we see the spirit float up to somewhere. We're not just a spirit in heaven. We have a body, and we have a purpose, and God has a plan for us. And it's not just here on earth. It's a plan for us when we get to heaven, too. And we can look forward to those exciting things that he has planned for us. But this first verse also reminds us that our body, our physical body here on earth, is kind of frail, right? And we know that Paul was very, very assured, like the song Blessed Assurance. I love that song too, and I looked that song up because I wanted to see the exact words, and it's "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine! Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood." Are we not washed in His blood? Amen. Amen. Paul, by trade, was a tent maker. So this, when he says, if this earthly tent, he had all kinds of knowledge about tents. So that's why he's focusing on this language of this tent. And you can imagine that a tent maker probably makes big money when he makes a new tent, but he probably had most of his income from repairing old tents, right? The splits, as they, the tears and the splits, he had to repair this constantly. And so he says that our body, this earthly tent that we're living in, is destroyed. But we have a new building from God. Other biblical references refer to our bodies as grass that withers or pottery that breaks. And the whole point is that, remember, don't put all of our effort into this, because this is going to go away. Thanks be to God. Okay? Paul was thinking about the end of his life. He knew that it was imminent. He had been beaten. He had been imprisoned. He had signs from his body that it would soon be gone. He had fatigue and overwork and tiredness and cold and hunger and weakness. He probably had arthritis, and he most definitely probably had a few broken bones. The people of faith, like us, know that God's eternal strong house is not what we have here, right? It's permanent. And you might have noticed in the verse, we have a building from God. It doesn't say we will have a building from God. It says we have a building from God. That's in the present tense. God's strong house begins here with our soul and extends through eternity. This is an example of a prophetic truth that is now our current reality. The rabbis or Pharisees, which Paul once was, believed in multiple heavens, all kinds of levels of heaven. And Utley says, we have to get over this. Heaven isn't up or out, or anything specific that our brains can wrap around, because our brains aren't the brain of God, okay? We aren't God, and we can't figure Him out. Heaven is God's dimension and God's time, and that's what we need to focus on, that this is so much bigger than anything we can imagine. When Cheryl DeVos isn't here today, they're traveling, but when her mother was dying, I think you've heard from Rick a couple times, when her mother was dying and she was afraid, Rick prayed that she would have a vision before she died. And Cheryl said that that one day that she looked up when she was completely in a coma, opened her eyes, looked up, and said, "Oh, wow." She had that vision. She had that vision of heaven. And we don't know if when she looked up into the corner, if it was up or to the left or to the right or where, but we know that God brought that vision to her there, right? But his time and space is different than ours. Verse 2, "Meanwhile we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because we are clothed, we will not be found naked." We groan. Groan as in pain. Groan as in longing for something else. We live our lives on earth longing for our heavenly home. Our desire is so strong for our future happiness that we groan. Now, there's some people of faith that always look happy. And I remember in our very first church where we came to faith, and this woman, I love her dearly. She's one of the sweetest women in the world, and she has calmed down a bit in her older age. We visited her after 20 years, but she was always happy. She was one of those happy Christians with the big hair, and everything was perfect in her life. And she was always happy, happy, happy. And those of us around her thought, there's no way that we can be this happy and this perfect all the time. And so we always felt a little lesser than her when we were around her. But the reality is that God's people have bad days too, don't we? Our faith is not just emotions. And emotions don't last. Emotions might be religion, but that's not our faith. Happiness is a wonderful choice, but why are we happy? We have to remember why, and it's Jesus Christ. So as believers, we groan for God's new order, and we groan for our spiritual bodies. And Paul did the same. And he chose happiness because he was of God and with God. We know that we're going to be found ready, right? Every one of us, we're going to be found ready. So while we have this groaning affliction, Paul assured us that in the last chapter that we would be patient and courageous. He looked at the tragedy of his imminent death, and instead he focused on the strength of the building that he had in God and his strong body that he had in God. Instead of getting in a tizzy about his body or what's going on in the world, and I know I spend enough time complaining about that, Paul viewed it as nothing more than taking down a tent. And sometimes when we're taking down a tent, we're groaning and we're wrestling with things, right? But we're just taking down a tent with a few groans for the completed task. Verse 4, "While we're in this tent, we groan and we're burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." When you get dressed in the morning and you put on a shirt, you put one arm in, and then you put the other arm in, and you button it up, and you surround yourself. You take off the old clothes, and you put on the new clothes, and you surround yourself, right? And what Paul is saying here is, we need to do that same kind of exercise every day with Jesus Christ. We need to put him on, and put him on, and surround ourselves with him, because the world is going to come at us. It's going to be bad. It's going to be rough. We're going to have problems. Somebody's going to be mad at work. Somebody's going to have issues. Somebody's going to have road rage. And it's up to us to put our sleeves on. Put our sleeves on, both sides, and button up Christ. The Greeks didn't believe in a bodily resurrection, but the Bible teaches that we will have a body and a soul. And can you imagine right now, in the blink of an eye, say Jesus came 20 seconds from right now. Can you imagine? Woo-hoo! Can you imagine in the blink of an eye, you're transformed not only from here and your physical body, but to heaven and your resurrected body? Woo-hoo is right. In the next world, we'll have no pain, no worries, no planning, no sickness, no boredom. We'll be clothed in robes of righteousness, and we'll be praising God forever. How cool is that? How cool is that? Paul wanted to be ready, and he was ready. So my question is, are you? Our Lord could return, as I said, before the end of this service. If God returns at the end of this service, we are not going to be beamed up as a corporate body, okay? We love each other and we're family here at Amazing Grace, but guess what? When Jesus returns, we're going to have a one-on-one meeting with him. Nobody else. There's nobody going to be there to help us or to tell us what to say or what to do. It's going to be you and Jesus. You and Jesus. And when that happens, are you ready? Do you daily treat him with the reverence that he's due and the respect he deserves? Remember what his question was to Peter? Do you love me? He asked Peter three times. Good health and all of that today doesn't assure us of anything tomorrow. Everything in life is a gift. Long life is a gift, and life today is a gift. If our tent's gone, we are not without a home. And if you want the details of what that heavenly home looks like, read Revelation. Verse 5. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us a spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. I was just in love with verse 1 until I got to verse 5. And verse 5 is even better than verse 1. It tells us that our lives are not controlled by luck, and it's not controlled by chance, and it's not controlled by fate. Rather, it's controlled by God and revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Even our trials, even the trials that we all have, all those bad things that are happening, they might just be a means of maturity and greater faith for us, for our future. And haven't you experienced that? When you've had trials in your life, haven't you found that you've pulled through and gone to God for help, and that he's made amazing things happen? Remember in the movies that you've seen about Jesus' life and how the disciples are kind of hiding and waiting around, and there's people out there that want to kill him because they followed the way. And then Jesus came back, and he told them they're going to receive the Spirit. And he said, just wait a little bit longer, and you're going to receive the Spirit. And they didn't quite understand what that was. But then the Holy Spirit came. And man, these disciples were energized, and they were emboldened. They were never fearful again. Never fearful again. Ever. They went out there, and they knew they were going to be killed, and they didn't care. We said the receiving of the Holy Spirit was a sign that the new age had dawned. Has a new age dawned for you? That evidence of a personal salvation, because we could actually feel it for the first time, that there was a new means of ministry for the disciples, there was a new means of spiritual maturity for the disciples, and there was an assurance of heaven. Wow. Wow. My favorite line in this verse is, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit. When Rick and I bought our first house, we didn't know what we were doing. And so we went, and we said, we want to buy this house, and we don't know what to do. And they said, well, you need to get your tax returns together, and you need to do a check stub, and you need to do this and that, and then you need to do an earnest deposit. And we said, well, what's an earnest deposit? And they said, well, that's a financial deposit, in this case, that you're going to put on this house, and you're telling us earnestly that you really, really want this house. And then we follow up by going through the paperwork, and then we earnestly hold that house for you. This verse says the Holy Spirit came and put an earnest deposit on heaven for us, guaranteeing what is to come. Did you know that? We have a guarantee of what is to come. After we give our lives to Jesus, we have a guarantee of what is to come. How cool is that?
The best part, though, it says he revealed more to us so that we could feel his presence and experience his grace. When the Holy Spirit comes and we receive the Holy Spirit, and that's why we pray, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. We want more of you and more of you and more of you. Why? Because he reveals things to us in our heart. He makes an earnest deposit, and it's of grace and of comfort. Well, all of this is really nice information. But what do we do with it as believers? First thing we have to realize is this isn't our home. This isn't us. This isn't our home. This is wonderful. Our fellowship here in church is wonderful, and living life is wonderful, and looking forward to new things and new surprises, all wonderful. But this isn't our home. Pastor Perry and I were raised in the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. And in the Missouri Synod hymnal, the very last song was, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. Here's some of the words. I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear, heaven is my home. Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand, but heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. I loved that song, and I still love that song today. So heaven is our home. That's the first thing we need to realize. Second thing, be courageous in current problems. Paul was confident in God's promise and in the Holy Spirit's deposit, and he asked us to do the same. We'll soon be gone from this world, and when we are, our faith right now will become sight. We'll see it all. We'll know it all. The Holy Spirit will reveal everything that we didn't understand at that time. So we have to not only accept that we don't understand everything, but we have to look forward to his revealing. Look forward to what he's going to reveal us to us, and know that there's a purpose for everything. And finally, we have to labor diligently to spread his word so that we can be accepted by others, but more importantly, that we can please God. We've got to please God in the now. We put him on every morning, and we please him every day. And if we're doing that, if we're doing everything that we can do to please God, we don't need to worry about the rest. So we need to stop worrying and give it up to him. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and continue to instruct us and deposit for us. Deposit the knowledge of you in our spirit, and make our earnest deposit for us in our heavenly home. Amen.